All right, ladies and gentlemen, it is the top of the hour here at 8 o'clock, and you are listening to Get Notified.
KUCI. It makes me wanna. 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 KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine.
The opinions and views expressed in this program do not reflect those of KUCI, its management, or the UC Board of Regents. To find out more about this talk show or other talk shows broadcasting on KUCI, log on to our website at kuci.org or check out the latest program guide.
And good morning. You're here with Ryan Foland and the lovely crew that I've got with us today. I've got Angie in studio, I've got Aaron in studio, and I've got Patrina in studio, and then we've got our guest on the phone. Ladies and gentlemen, if you are on the 405, I am sorry, but if you are listening to us on the radio, that is your saving grace right now. Here at Get Notified, we talk about social media. That's right. If you love it, we can help you get better. If you hate it, we still love you. And if you have no idea what's going on with it and you're confused, we're here to help clear the fog. Now, today's guest is actually a two-parter. We're going to have her on today and tomorrow, and I'm very excited. I was talking with her, and the conversation of social media came up, and we started talking about cars. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, those cars that you are driving in right now, we're going to talk today about student driving social media. We are all going to become students once again, trying to figure out how to drive this car called social media. And then tomorrow, we have a special show. I call it Social Media Powerball. Yes, it is like the lotto. Somebody, a lucky person here at UCI, is going to win millions of dollars worth of advice from myself and Shan and our in-house crew. We actually have Crystal Fairbanks from the Study Abroad Center here at UCI, and we are going to be stepping through a real-time consultancy of sorts with an expert who's going to evaluate and help break down the whole process. My guest today is a good friend of mine. She comes from that school, UCLA. For those of you who don't know UCLA, that's UCLA. Unfortunately, she's not a grad here of UCI, but she is an honorary anteater. And her name is Shan Dormhenker. And I'm going to probably pronounce that a few times, and I'll get it right on the third one. But she is a master of social media. She's also a veteran. She's a powerful woman. She's the founder of Vixer Consulting, which I probably also butchered, and Drago Data. Mrs. Shan, are you on the phone with us?
And it's only Miss, but good morning. It's early. The coffee hasn't kicked in.
Well, that's your problem. You need some Java Zen. If you haven't heard of Java Zen, it's actually a funny...
No, you need the Java so that you can get the pronunciation and you can get your mouth working right.
Well, the problem is I've already had my Java Zen, so I'm all fired up. Help me out here with the pronunciation because it is early. Give us your name and your companies again, please.
Okay. My name is Shan Dornhecker. The companies that I have are Vixer Consulting and Drago Data.
Awesome. And I am not going to try to spell that. And now I know how to pronounce it, although I still probably couldn't duplicate it. But that's okay.
Well, it's Latin. Vixer is from an old saying from one of the first PR people ever. Vixer fortis Agamemnon. And what it means is there were great men before Agamemnon. However, he was the first one to be written about. So that's where Vixer comes from. That's why I do social media.
I dig it. With Latin roots, ladies and gentlemen, Miss Shan. Now, Shan, where are you in the world right now? You're in Westwood, right? Or you're in West L.A.?
I'm in West L.A.
Okay.
On the border of Santa Monica.
Nice. I love it up there. So we're down here at UCI, and for those of you who are listening, you can share this show with your friends and let them listen online. That is at kuci.org. And because this show is all about social media, Shan, how might people find you on social media to connect with you after the show today and tomorrow or in the middle?
I always am available via my email, shan@vixere.com. I'm on LinkedIn, and Those are the main ways that I use to connect with people, because I have a lot of word-of-mouth clients.
Awesome.
So I have toned down my social media, personally, because I'm not trying to get a lot of people to contact me.
Yeah.
I get a little busy, and then there are other things I'm doing. So I'm trying to run another company that's completely unsocial media related, which is my drug or data company, which is in archaeology. So
archaeology. Well, I think
that's
that
I think one that, of the things.
I think that the historians of the future, maybe archaeology will be digging into the databases of our computers and trying to find out what made us tick and what this social media thing is. So let's jump right into it, Miss Shan. I love this analogy of a car, and we had a great conversation the other day, and I wanted to really start there, and we can work our way through the whole student driving, because there's a lot of people out there listening that either love social media, hate it, or are confused by it. But I think everybody understands what a car is, and that's what I'm excited about today, your social media as a vehicle. Now, we were talking about some show ideas, and I said, you know, I know you help people hire for social media. Maybe we can talk about that. And you went, Ryan, wait a minute. And for those of you, you got to know Shan. She is very hilarious, and she's funny, and she's sometimes very stern. She looked at me and said, Ryan, you do not hire someone for social media. You first have to know what car you're driving. And there we go. So tell us about this baseline analogy. You know,
yes.
What kind of car is social media, or is that the point? We got to figure out what car it is.
Well, you need to figure out really where do you want to go. So if you want to go off-roading, you're not going to buy a Prius. Or, you know, a Fiat. If you're going to, you know, drive long distance, you're not going to want to, you know, get a car that has low gas mileage. You want to buy the right car to go to the right place to do the right things. And that's really about understanding yourself, your lifestyle, and what you're doing. And when we apply this to a business, it really comes down to what is your business? Not every business needs to be on Facebook. Not every business needs to be on, you know, all social media. Not every person needs to be spread across social media. But they need to be in the right venues for the right things about what they want. So you have to understand what is it you want. Do I want people to give me money? Do I want people to call me for speaking engagements? Do I want people to buy my product or my book or whatever it is that I'm selling? Do I want people to hire me to speak or do other things? What is it they want? Do I want to just communicate a really cool message or create, you know, interest in my art or something? These are all the things that we each have to figure out for ourselves when we're determining our business and where we are. That will determine the types of audiences and types of social media that you have. I know most people know all the big ones. They know LinkedIn, they know Twitter, they know, you know, Snapchat's now the big, you know, Periscope, Meerkat. But there's actually over 250 different types of social media in the world that do many, many different things and target many, many different audiences. And understanding who your audience is or who you want to reach and what you want from that audience is the most important thing. So this is about reading the manual before you get in the car.
Wow. So you said there's over 250 different Facebook-like, Twitter-like, Instagram-like, different type of like sites. Is that correct?
Yes, and that's just English-speaking.
Ooh.
And I haven't even gotten into the explosion of what's going on in Korea or Japan or, you know, China and that. And those are all individually also driven not just by Google, but by other search engines and, you know, by mapping programs and by local listings, everything from the Yellow Pages listing. So again, if you're a brick-and-mortar business, if you're an information business, if you're an education business, which I don't know if that's the right thing to say, education isn't a business.
I guess it's a business. We've got to make money as well.
Maybe if you're not, yeah.
Let's go back to step one here, and we want to break it down for steps. So step one, we've got to figure out where we want to go, what type of driving we want to do before you even think about the type of car that you want. So somebody who has a rock band maybe has a different car than somebody who is a professional consultant who maybe has a different car than somebody at a university campus. What type of a car do you think would be typical, knowing that there's not one answer, but say on campus here at UCI, let's assume that these different resources and programs on campus, like the Study Abroad Center, like the Blackstone Launchpad, like the Lark Center and the Tutoring Center, each one of those is going to have a different car. Is that correct?
Some of them are going to have the same type of car. They're going to come in a few different styles, like you have a sport model and you have, you know, other types of models. But they're all really going to be very, you know, and so that's kind of like designing your car. What kind of colors do you want on it? You want spoilers? You want, you know, the super sport package?
Some spinners maybe?
Because it depends. So some spinners, you know, because it's all about the rims. And so if we take something like the Study Abroad and we examine that, who do I want to reach? Well, I want to reach students who want to go overseas. And I have many, many different classes, many different schools around the world that do things that cover all the different majors. So I want to kind of hit everybody. So the first things that I'm going to do is I'm going to run down all the different kinds of keywords that are going to appeal to all those different types of students that I want to recruit to come to study abroad.
Okay, so
and then
Shan,
I'm going to match them with the cities in the world.
Okay, hold on 1 second, Shan. Here at Get Notified,
hello,
we have something called the GTO.
Okay.
And the GTO is the grandma timeout. And that's whenever we hear something that maybe grandma who's listening, hi, grandma, if she doesn't understand, we say, hey, GTO, and then the word. So GTO keywords. Explain to grandma real quick.
Okay.
What is a keyword?
A keyword is what, when you type into Google or search engine or your phone or talk to Siri or talk to anybody, is the first word that would pop out of your mouth that you would use to find the thing that you're looking for.
Okay, so they're literally the key words that you use.
Literally the exact word that you would use to find the information about you want. So we say study abroad. Some students may not use the word study abroad, but we would use study abroad as a keyword. Some may just be study economics in Paris or economics Paris. Those can be combined into a compound keyword, or they can be each separately keyword. As the business that I'm putting this out, you want to try to use as many of those keywords as possible in all of the things that you post, not just to your website, but also to all the rest of your, you know, social media. So if you put a photograph up, you want to jam all those keywords into that photograph and save it in that file in your Photoshop file or whatever editing program that you use, so that Google, when it puts your photograph on your social media, and that Google will find all those keywords attached to your picture, and all of a sudden now your picture's coming up, and then your links are going to send traffic to your site, to your Facebook, to everything. So keywords are very, very important so people can find you. And it breaks down to the simplest thing. What word would you use to find the thing you're looking for?
Okay, so going back to this car analogy, here we are on the dealer lot, and we're dealing with not your sleazy car guy, but somebody who's hip, he's fresh, he knows what's going on, he's on social media, and you're saying, look, I want to get to a certain destination, and I need a certain type of car. And the different upgrades within the car, it's almost fun to think about those as keywords. So if you think of a spoiler, or you think of rims, or you think of decals, those essentially are on the outside of the car that would attract people towards your car, right? So we're almost looking like these
yes,
details
exactly.
And these upgrades.
It's the paint job.
It's the paint job. It's the spoiler, it's the tinted windows, it's the muffler, it's how it looks and sounds, all those things. So for those of you out there who are listening and don't know what your keywords are, think of the keywords as these different qualities or traits of the car that you are going to purchase in order to use to go where you want to go. All right, so let's say we're at the dealership and we find the car. We understand that it's the right model. Maybe it's a hybrid because you want to be eco-friendly, but you also want to go long distance and you're not worried about off-road and you get the perfect looking car. What do we do next? I mean, that's really just the basis. I mean, how do we tie in which social platforms to choose? Is that still upgrades within the car, or is that something we deal with once we're in the car?
That's the thing that you deal with it's part of your decision process about your keywords in the car, you know, what the paint job is going to look like, but it's also the thing that once you get into that car and you start looking at all the controls, that those would be your different social media platforms. And that's determined about where do you want to go. So this is the question that you ask yourself. What do I want from putting myself out in the world? Meaning, do I want people to give me money? Do I want them to buy my book? Do I want them to go to my classes? Do I want them to register and come to study abroad? Do I want them to hire me to be a personality on there, you know, to speak? Do I want to find investors? What is the thing that I want to do? And that is going to tweak some of those kind of inner things, like, do I want air conditioning? Do I want, you know, because sometimes you may want a little bit of column A and some of column B. And, you know, that's when we're looking at upholstery and kind of the interiors. And then those things are going to drive those platforms. So when you leave the lot, you're going to be able to be fully equipped to get to the exact platforms that will deliver you the audience that you're looking for.
Okay,
Hopefully I didn't mess up that analogy.
There is no messing this up because, see, we've created an analogy between a car and social media, so we get to do whatever we want. We're not wrong, and if we are wrong, we just make up something to make it seem right. One thing when you were talking that popped in my mind was almost a GPS system or a mapping system, right? Like, if I want to go to Los Angeles, for example, there's a number of different ways to get there. I could take the bus, I could take the train, I could take the freeway, I could take the side streets. And I think that I like this analogy in the way of, we know where we want to go and the social media channels are the different routes, right? Because not everybody is on every social platform. And that's maybe a huge, huge takeaway, is that sometimes we get onto quote-unquote social media and you start a Facebook and a Twitter and an Instagram, and then all of a sudden you're looking at three different paths and it's confusing. So let's talk about the importance of, it's not about being on all platforms, it's about being on the right platform. Because I think that can be stressed over and over and over and over, and people still, oh, what is this Snapchat? Oh, I need to join, I need to get on. Well, maybe you don't, because it might confuse you and you might not be ready for it. So let's talk for a few minutes about the importance of being on the right strategies, and then as a very top level, we can maybe do a 30 seconds on some of the major platforms to help people understand which ones might be the right ones for them.
Let's say that let's keep it within kind of the UCI environment and look at it from that perspective. Okay, so at UCI, I want people to come to my classes. I will want people to sign up for my programs like study abroad. I'll want people to do these different things. They all kind of mean the same thing. I want people to come in my door, and therefore I need to look interesting. Instead of just posting a Facebook page, I'm going to make sure that my web page, first of all, which is your first aspect of social media, actually, it's the very first thing that people can reach you on, is your web page. Because they're going to Google you, they're going to Google your name, and they're going to find your class, and that's where it's going to be. And somebody can't instantly connect with you or email you or call you then do it. You can do all the social media in the world, but it takes too long, and that person just walked out and registered for somebody else's class because they could instantly ask that question and connect.
So let's talk about that for one second. This is an interesting point, because we talk about social media and we think of all these different platforms and these different actual social media sites. But what you're saying is your website is your own social media. It's the social media that you choose for yourself, how you interact with people, how people can get involved. But it's almost that tip of the entire iceberg, correct?
Yes. And as much as the younger generation would like to say, oh, you don't need a website or not, you have to remember there's a whole huge, large audience out there that some of them are still just getting onto this platform. You know, they're still getting adapted to the idea of a mobile phone. But they understand how the web works, and they use their older ways, and they may be a very valuable audience. So it's not just, you know, oh, if you're not on Snapchat, then forget it, or Twitter, because not everybody tweets and not everybody does it. And so you really need to understand who is your audience. Your audience, if you start at the very most basic thing, which is they're going to go study abroad, UCI study abroad, or they're going to do... Ryan, I didn't know what your major was in college. Mine was anthropology.
Yeah, business economics and dramatic art.
So let's say that UCI had in their study abroad program, you wanted to study drama in London. You would type in UCI drama London to study... to find what opportunities, and if Study Abroad has done their work on just their basic website, all of a sudden that will pop up. And then if they have a way for you to call and ask somebody a question or email somebody a question or find their office and ask them a question, they have now got you into that loop where, okay, you don't need to do all this extra work on all these other platforms, because you've made it the simplest thing of where is somebody going to go first to find you.
I love it.
Now,
well,
into like how Google ranks stuff and all of that, and Google Love and social platforms, and that's more the kind of advanced class, and there's ways to do that. But at the most basic thing, before you drive that car off the lot, do you know how to turn on the engine to make sure that you can start the car?
I love
it. And your website would be that key.
Okay, so on the topic of website, we're talking about millennials, but what we want to do is we want to hear from some millennials. We have three of them staring across at me here at KUCI, and I want to do a little pop quiz interview with them to see what they think about websites and whether or not they search websites or social channels. So, Angie, you're up. How are you doing today, Angie?
Good. How are you?
Good. Did you have a good weekend?
Yes, I did.
Are you ready for a big week?
Yeah.
Did you go watch the Rams?
No, I didn't.
Okay. So the question here, Angie, is if you were going to be searching for a program on campus, and let's just take one, is there certain programs on campus or things that you're interested in that you might look at getting involved with this year?
Probably volunteer work.
Volunteer work. Okay. So how would you go about finding volunteer work here at UCI?
I would Google it.
You would Google it.
Yeah.
So you're not going to go to UCI's Facebook and then search for volunteer opportunities, because there's not really that functionality, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
I wouldn't do that.
What decals would you be looking for on the car? Pretend that you're typing right now. What would you keyword search?
Volunteer UCI.
Okay. Volunteer UCI. Now watch this. I am connected to this thing called the internet. Volunteer UCI. I'm going to click Volunteer UCI. And guess what? Volunteer Connection UCI Cross Cultural Center comes up first. So there you go. Because the Cross Cultural Center has somehow gotten to that first spot, that's the one that I might give preference to. So let's say you find their website. What would you do then? Would you then dive into the social media, or would you spend a lot of time on that website?
I would spend time on the website.
Okay. Now, this is great. Thank you, Angie. So for those of you that are out there, you might be so focused on thinking that Facebook is your first line of defense, but it might really be your website. All right, let's talk with Aaron. Aaron, you're on mic 3. Say
yes.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you doing, Erin?
I'm all right.
Now, Erin has an interesting perspective because she's in high school. She is one of those rock star students that is up early in the morning volunteering at a radio show because she loves communication and ballet dancing, which we know if you're a fan of the show. So you're in a spot to where you might... Are you going to be trying to come to UCI?
I actually want to get out of Irvine, so I don't think so.
Okay, she totally wants to become an anteater. This is amazing. See, as a radio host, I get to hear what I want. So, this is cool. You are now going to be getting out of Irvine. You're going to be searching.
She's going to be a bear.
Are you going to go to UCLA and be a trader or USC?
I don't know. I actually want to go to the East Coast.
Oh, okay. Yeah. East Coast. So, are you more of a website-first searcher, or do you travel in the ether of social media if you're looking at these schools?
If I'm looking at certain departments, I would go online, not through these platforms. I just think that they're more reliable and easier to access.
Okay, so more reliable and easier to access. Now, we have a new guest in here, Petrina, and this is her first day as a new coordinator at the Office of the Vice Provost of Teaching and Learning, and we have a tradition here. Your first day, you get thrown under the bus, and you get put on a radio show. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm fantastic. Now, when I met Petrina, I asked her on a scale of 1 to 10 how much she enjoys writing, and without hesitation, she said 15, and that was it. That was when we knew she was meant to be with the OVPTL. What year are you here at UCI?
That's so much more than 11.
So much more than 11, yes.
I'm an incoming second year.
Incoming second year. So have you explored some of the resources on campus, and how do you go about exploring them?
Yeah, I think for the most part, whenever I'm trying to connect to any of the different resources on campus, I go through a website because it seems a little bit more professional. It seems like the place that you would go to get real information rather than going on social media.
Now, what type of information does social media give you?
It's more like updates, maybe events that different departments are having, that kind of thing. That's what I would go on the social media for.
Now, what about culture? And I try to speak about this a lot because I believe that everyone wants to know about the culture just as much as the resources. So does social media explain more of the culture of a department than, say, the website? What's your opinion?
I think it does. For the most part, you're more connected through social media. You might not know who's behind the account, but you know that there's a person. So it's easier to connect to the different resources that way, through knowing that it's a human being. But websites tend to be a little more, I guess you could say, distant, because you look at it more as a professional thing, more as a thing that you just look at and move on from.
Awesome. Now, you are actually volunteering. Angie, you should talk with her, okay? You're volunteering at SPOP, correct?
Yes.
Now, SPOP is Student Parent Orientation
Program.
And that's kind of like a in-person social media or in-person website, correct?
Yeah.
Now, where are people sending these students? Because new students are coming in and you're at the booth and you're saying, you should check out the Multicultural Center. Do you direct them to the website or the Facebook?
Probably the website.
Okay. So, Shan, you've hit it on the head here because of these students and of these potential students. And, Erin, we're going to have to talk afterwards about you coming to UCI because we have an East Coast feel here. You just haven't felt it yet, okay? This is a great, really, really big takeaway is that your website is a huge front door. Maybe it's like the DeLorean door of your car.
It's definitely the door that will get you in the car and get you on the road. And interestingly enough, I'm looking at the volunteer UCI EDU Volunteer Connect, and lo and behold, the very first thing that we have on the website is the assistant director's name is Darlene Esparza, and her phone number is there, and cross-cultural center. And now the one thing that I would say is missing from that is an email for an inquiry.
Mm.
But it does have a lot of links, and then it says, oh, go to the Facebook and that. Well, Facebook is really great from kind of getting an update going, hey, we're meeting in this room with that. But again, not everybody's on Facebook or wants their feed constantly interrupted by 50 million pages and groups and likes, because it can be a lot of clutter, particularly if you're a student and you're trying to go to classes. I'm sure you understand this as a second year student, and as an incoming student, that can be a lot of noise that can distract from really where you want to go and what you want to do.
Now, my grandma just sent me a text message, and she said, Ryan, what is feed and what is all this noise? So GTO, feed and noise, because maybe not everybody understands that when you like someone on Facebook, it adds into your feed. So my grandma's just totally confused. Could you help her out? GTO, feed.
Okay. So what is your feed is when you open up your Facebook and you see a long string of what all your friends and all the pages that you have selected that you liked and all the groups and all the upcoming events. And, you know, my friend over here is having a party and they post something or send you an invite. That all pops up into your feed whenever you open up that Facebook page. If you make a comment on something and somebody comments back, that comes into your notifications, and that is another little separate feed that comes up, because a feed is basically a list of everything that you're seeing that's going on in social media, and that can get pretty big, especially if you have a conversation with somebody on social media, which can be a major time suck. 8 hours later, you still haven't written your paper or registered for classes because you're having a conversation with 10 other people about a certain thing.
My grandma just gave me a text message and thank you for that. She said thank you for that. That really helped her out. This brings up a little side point. When you're driving on the freeway, sometimes there are people who are trying to get your attention, right? They're looking at you and they're knocking on the window. Maybe they give you a little friendly honk. And what you're saying is that when you sit there and say, here's my Facebook page, like it, or here's my Twitter page, follow me, sometimes that's like somebody driving down the freeway in a totally separate car trying to get your attention, but your focus is on the drive. And I always encourage departments to not just say, follow me, but this is why you would follow me. If you follow me in this direction, I'm going to show you where the events are. If you follow me over here, I'm going to show you fun pictures. If you follow me over here, I'm going to teach you how to get involved, or follow me and you can find out where to volunteer. So for those of you listening, it's not just about driving down the freeway and distracting people. It's about letting people know, hey, this is where I'm going. Jerry Maguire, I've got my fish. Who's coming with me? Right?
Well, but let's add one more point, because so many people make this mistake when they get into social media, or they think that they have to constantly be on it. My rule of thumb when I advise a client, and I've had a lot of clients over the last 20 years before this was even called social media. There was this thing called the bulletin board system. I won't even get into that, but that's just how old I am, girls. If you're spending more than an hour a day with your social media in posting or in responding, you're spending way too much time. It should be simple, brief, to the point. Because the people that will connect with you on social media after they found you on the website and they're interested and they say, yeah, I want to know about this thing, then you need to make it brief. Just like you don't want 20 people driving by you, blight beeping their horn at you when you're actually trying to focus on trying the road, or you don't want 10 passengers carrying on a conversation or fighting in the back or trying to watch a movie when you're trying to drive safely on the road. And that's one of the things that we do need to be really cognizant of, is that, you know, there's a lot of things going on in the world that is just not on our phone. We get a lot more done face-to-face in human contact. And so social media should be that little thing that says, ah, here's my little brief. And it's like, I know that at 10 o'clock every morning or at certain times of the day, I can check this and I'll get all the information I need from this thing that I really am interested in that I want. And I know that if I've missed it or that, I can scroll on my feed and it will show up where I want it to. Now, that's whether you're using Facebook or, you know, if you're doing Pinterest or if you're doing Flipboard, from a, if you're doing a lot of news stuff, you know that at certain times of day, content's going to update. It's going to be posted. You don't need to do it more than once a day.
I think, right? You bring up
let's
talk about this as an analogy with driving, because the funny thing about cars is that they're this massive asset. They're usually very expensive, and we literally drive them to park them for 6 to 8 hours and then drive them to park them for 6 to 8 hours. So I love this analogy of a car being social media. You're not spending the whole day in the car. You're using it to get from point A to point B, and during that time, you're sort of sharing with people and you're using that time effectively, but you don't have to be on social media all the time as the content producer. Now, I was just listening to David Meerman Scott, great author. He talks about the new rules of marketing and PR, and I listen to audiobooks when I drive, unless I'm listening to KUCI. And as a reminder, those of you who are joining us, you are listening to Get Notified here with Ryan Follin, DJ Ginger MC, hashtag Ginger MC. And you can show some love to the station at KUCI FM or on Instagram at KUCI FM. You can search their website, right? KUCI.org. You can share what we've got going on. There's so many great guests and so many great shows going on here. And you can show me some Twitter love at Ryan Follin. Cyberbullying is not cool, but ginger jokes are right on the brink of that. So go ahead and tweet it out at me, and I'll let you know if you're being inappropriate or not. But this idea of not always having to be online as the producer, I want to get the opinion of our in-studio millennial guests who are experts here and ask them from the consumption side, how much are you on social media? So Petrina, how much are you on social media?
For the most part, I use social media as a way to like distract myself, or maybe if I have downtime. So I'm waiting on the class to start, I'll look at Facebook. I'm waiting for an event to start, I'm waiting for a friend. You just go on Facebook, you look through your newsfeed. You go on Twitter, look through your newsfeed. So it really depends on the day-to-day basis. For the most part, it's just downtime that I use social media for. So I would say pretty much every day I check social media.
Okay, but she's on social media, but during downtime, so it's not like she's watching her Facebook constantly, but that's the important, Shan was mentioning, make these updates small and brief so she can scroll through and see if there's anything of interest. Angie, ask an anteater. How much do you use social media every day?
I'm addicted.
You're addicted.
Yeah, it's more than just downtime.
All right, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. It's not just downtime for some people. Some people are addicted to it. What's your favorite platform, Angie?
Snapchat.
Now, do you follow UCI on Snapchat?
I do. I think so. They disappear because of the location.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And does UCI Snapchat deliver things that you're into or that you get excited about?
Yeah, I usually just look at it when I'm... It's UC Stories. So UCI pops up once in a while, but I don't think they have their own Snapchat.
I think they do. I think
really?
They do have their own chat Snapchat, yes. I believe
I
it's UC
them.
Irvine. So mm-hmm. Now you can have one more to your whole
yeah.
addiction.
Okay.
But they do a lot of fun stuff at major events and different things. They get all crazy with the ants on there and different things.
Mm-hmm.
So for those of you out there, check out UCI Snapchat. Blackstone Launchpad has a Snapchat as well. And I don't think too many other people do. But if you are listening to this, we have students addicted to Snapchat. So you might want to think about getting there, but it might not be your car. Okay. Now, Let's go back to you, Shan.
And this is the important thing that we do have the addicts, and to them I say, put the phone down. There's a lot going on in the big world that's like really more interesting, and face to face is so much cooler. And that's the one thing that we really need to understand. When you need to get your message across as a business or a class or that, you need to use the medium that is going to reach your audience. But if you're just posting useless stuff, I'm not meaning that what's being posted is useless, but I mean if it's not meaningful, if it's not deriving an action, let's say, come to this event, take a look at what we're doing here. Click here and volunteer. If you're not driving some sort of engagement with the person who's receiving that on the end, then you're not going to be effective, and you're spending a lot of money on hiring somebody to keep posting and creating content that is really not going to achieve your goal. In other words, it's not going to get you to point B, where you can get out of the car and maybe enjoy the scenery. And enjoying the scenery when you get out of the car is kind of part of the reason why you get in the car in the first place. And that is, you know, that end goal. You have someone engaged with your class, with your product, with your company that is going to enjoy your scenery. So and they're going to do something. They're going to buy something. They're going to sign up. They're going to show up. And those are the things that we do have to make sure. And this is why there's big tools out there. One is called Social Oomph. There's Hootsuite that actually can manage a number of platforms, and you can schedule your social media. So you can use it in conjunction with effective time management tools so that you can get everything, get your platforms loaded up, kind of hit two or three buttons, get your content out there, make sure everything's tagged so that when you post it to the website, it then blaps it out at different times to your audience. And that's where, you know, your analytical tools will come in to see, okay, how many people are looking at this time of day. So you can figure out the most optimum time to hit both the downtime user and the addict.
Okay, so if you're just joining us or you want a little recap, that's what Ginger MC is going to do for you right now. We are talking about social media as a vehicle to get where you want to go. Before you go to the parking, before you go to the dealership, you have to figure out where you want to go. Based on where you want to go, you find a dealership and you come up to accessorize this vehicle with different types of visualizations and features that are based on, say, your keywords or the things that your target audience is looking for. Once you've got the right paint job and the right rims, you have to understand that once you get inside the car, there's a number of ways that you can drive. And you don't have to, and it's almost impossible, to be on all social media platforms, especially considering that there are over 250 of them. And I meet students every day that are coming up with new social media sites. The one thing that is constant, and that we had asked our in-studio experts, the website is really sometimes the first point of contact. It's maybe less personable, but it's more professional, and it then can be the tenuit or the starting point to these other social platforms. We're talking about when you drive this car, we don't want you to get stuck in the car all day long. We want you to be smart and give updates accordingly so people know where you're going, but not just useless posting for the sake of posting. Letting them know, this is where I'm going if you want to join, this is what's happening if you want to follow. And what it sounds like, this last little section here, if you want to bring people along with you, you shouldn't get an Audi that's a convertible. You can only fit two people in there. Maybe here at UCI, they need those big athletic passenger vans. They can still look good, right? Or a Mercedes-Benz stretch van, so that you can go along the way, go where people are, pick up some students, and have them all go along with you. For those of you who are intimidated by posting on multiple platforms, there are different social media softwares. Think of them as autopilots. You set in the destination, you set in the different stops, you hit the go button, and maybe it's like a Tesla. It'll stay in between the lanes while you can focus on some other things. So you've got your car, you know where you're going, you're communicating to everybody in a non-spammy way that actually helps them understand if they want to get involved, where you want to go. Is that a pretty good wrap?
I think you got it. I think yes. I think the key here is to really, you know, what was it? Know yourself. Which was that, Plato or Socrates? Was, you know thyself.
Know thyself.
When you do that, and you know thyself, right? We're trying to be academic here, right? It is UCI. This is where the big brains are. if you know really who you are, what you want to communicate, and what you want your audience to do, so you know yourself, but you also know what you want from your audience, that's the best way for you to be able to, like, pick out the car that you want to drive. And then your social media platforms are more like reading that manual before you, you know, you outsource it or give it to somebody else.
So one of the things that I know you're a big fan of is focusing on the simple things, the easy victories, maybe the stuff that's super obvious. One of my favorite quotes is, people become successful not by doing what others are not doing. It's by doing things that everyone can do, but they're not. And so I want to play a game of popcorn where we're going to go around the room and we're going to ask everybody, what are some very simple, obvious things, like the more obvious, the better, about how we can either post on social media, elements of a website that you want to be there, things that are easy victories for somebody out there going, okay, I've got the car, I think I know where I'm going, I wasn't sure if I wanted spinners or not, but I opted against it, and I am now ready to go. Let's do a little roundtable for about 5 minutes of some ideas that people can do. And the game with popcorn, you say popcorn Angie or popcorn Aaron or popcorn Patrina, and then everybody has about 30 seconds or less to do their wares, and we will have an awesome bag of edible light butter, light salt popcorn for us to eat. Does that sound good?
Sounds fantastic.
Popcorn Shan, what's an easy victory for us to do or us to know?
Always make sure that your contact information is first and foremost, whether it's on your website or your Facebook or anything, that there's an email or a phone number or a way for people to directly connect with you to get their questions answered, and you make it first and foremost.
First and foremost, super obvious.
Put once contact, they found you.
Contact information there.
Once they found you through their keywords, if they can't contact you, it's what's the point?
It's kind of like a 3-second rule, but instead of a croissant falling in an elevator, it's somebody landing on your website. And if you can't get them what they need in about 3 seconds, you're saying they're gone.
Less than 3 seconds nowadays, yeah. There's even more, less than 3 seconds.
Okay, so you get to popcorn somebody. You have Angie, Aaron, or Patrina?
Patrina.
Wait. Popcorn. You got to say popcorn. You got to say popcorn, Patrina.
Okay. Popcorn, Patrina.
Okay, you're up.
Okay, for me, I believe that you should focus on grammar. Keeping your grammar straight, making sure that what you're saying is clear, because it's really easy to get confused if you, you're not using the correct complete sentences, or maybe you meant, I like pins, and you say, I like pants. Like, that's a different thing. So you should pretty much make sure that everything that you're posting, even though it's on social media, it should be with correct grammar.
Coming from the lady who scored a 15 on a scale of 1 to 10, I appreciate that advice. And this is why I have you on my team, so that people know that we like pens and not pants. Okay, you get to popcorn somebody.
Popcorn Angie.
All right.
So I believe if you have a relevant picture that looks like how you do today, present day, I think it's communicates an accurate depiction of yourself, I think. And I think that's really important.
So you mean when you go on LinkedIn and you meet somebody online and then you see them in person and it looks like they're your younger brother, that's not cool? Okay. And what do you think about, from a picture standpoint, you know, people take photos with somebody and then they crop out themselves. What is your opinion on that?
They crop out themselves or the
I'm
other
sorry,
person?
See that? See Patrina? Patrina would have kept me honest if that was a post. She would have corrected that. Yes, if you crop out the other person, you know, would you rather see like a more professional photo, or do you care? I don't know.
I think that's disingenuous. I don't like seeing that.
Right.
Yeah. I feel like just a picture of themselves is, I wonder why did they crop out the other person?
Yeah,
what did they do?
What did they do to you? Okay, who are you going to popcorn?
Popcorn Aaron.
All right. Aaron has just been popcorned.
So for me, I would like a website to have organized pages and easy navigation, because if I have to search and click a million times to find one piece of information that I'm looking for, then I'm just going to get frustrated and give up. So easy navigation is a way to go.
I love it. Who are you going to popcorn?
Popcorn Ryan.
Oh, she set it up. Maybe I set it up. I believe that the single most important thing to do when it comes to social media is consistency. Now, I can't spell it, but I can say it, and I continue to say it over and over. Gary Vaynerchuk talks about this all the time. You get out there and you're like, yeah, we're going to post and we're going to get ready and we're going to take on the world, or we're going to share everybody about studying abroad. It's going to be awesome. And then the quarter starts and then midterms hit and then you realize that you forgot to do what you said you were going to do, and any traction that you got has been lost. So whatever it is that you do, I would say be consistent. Popcorn Chan.
Well, just to follow up on that, that's where your time management and your tools that you can use that are most often free, where you can make sure that you set schedules and you use your time wisely to deliver your message out consistently on a basis. If you only have one day to that's free to be able to get your social media message out, we'll spend the day, load everything up for the whole week, and then you can always add more later when you have more time. But these scheduling programs, you know, set it, forget it, move on. And you can always go back. But it also takes the time to incorporate what everyone else said about grammar and good photos. Make sure you tag your photos with the right keywords so that Google can find them. Not, they're just not lost in your phone with like random numbers when you take a photo. Take the time to do your back end a little bit, and that will help. Popcorn Brian.
Okay, we are coming into the last few minutes of the show, so we are going to up the ante of the popcorn. It's going to be a 10-second popcorn attack. Now, I came up with something recently for Snapchat. Actually, I've invented all kinds of things for Snapchat lately, but I call it the snap attack. And I go up to somebody and I put my phone in their face and I go, snap attack, tell me what you do. And then they only have 10 seconds to do it. So we're going to do a 10-second popcorn round. So ladies, get ready with what your social media tip is for popcorn. And I'm going to challenge myself and I'm going to snap attack myself as I give my 10-second tip for social media. My 10-second... I'm waiting for Snapchat to start. See, there we go. Okay, 10 seconds. I believe that you take influencers, people that you like, that you share the same message, and retweet or reshare their message. Share other people's content. Bam, that was 10 seconds. Okay, popcorn, Patrina.
Okay, for me, I believe that you should be concise. Don't use the entire character limit. That's way too much. If you're using that, you should revise.
And time. Excellent. Popcorn somebody.
Popcorn Aaron.
For me, it's the idea of not being on all platforms, but being on the right platform. I think that's incredibly important in attracting a loyal audience.
Done. Under 10 seconds. Amazing. And Angie, ready? Snapchat attack. Go.
Since my favorite social media platform is Snapchat, I say keep your Snapchats, you know, not just a picture of cereal in the morning. It's interesting to everyone else.
Okay, so guess what? I'm going to Snapchat you three ladies here, and you have 10 seconds to do something interesting, and go. Take your own advice. They're looking. They're confused. They're laughing. This is super funny because they don't know what they're doing. Okay, that was great. That was actually entertaining. Shan, you get the last 10-second pitch here, and then we're going to go to music, and we have an amazing show after this. It's Claudia with Ask a Leader, so stick around. You're listening to Get Notified here at KUCI 88.9, also on KUCI.org. Shan, what's your last 10-second piece of advice for the world?
Have fun with it, and don't let it overwhelm you. You know, driving at first is scary, but once you learn how to drive, everybody else is on the 405 too, so you're not alone.
Awesome. Ladies and gentlemen, you heard it here. Have fun. Don't be intimidated. Get in the car and drive. But you know what? Don't cut people off. Be friendly on the road. And whatever you do, don't text and drive. Don't Facebook and drive. Don't do whatever that is that you know you shouldn't be doing. Ladies and gentlemen, we will see you tomorrow back with Shan, and we will be having the Crystal Fairbanks here from the Study Abroad Center in the hot seat. Here's some fun, funky music. Shan, we love you. We miss you. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you. We'll see you tomorrow. Thank you, everybody. Have a great day.